This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford. Built for Texas. Built for you. It is Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, John.
Was that the most fun you had watching a fourth quarter of football since Super Bowl 27?
Yes, if you qualify it with the fourth quarter. I think up until then it was, as usual, in an NFL game, it was pretty nerve-wracking. But, you know, eventually our guys stepped up, made big plays both sides of the ball. And, you know, the bigger thing we were wanting to work on, I think we made headway last night. We wanted to obviously clean up the penalties and then work on making plays on the ball, which we did in defense big time, especially in the fourth quarter. And then I thought overall we did a good job of protecting the ball.
You talk about cleaning up the penalties. I know Kevin asked you. He asked Jerry that last week. There was a lot of Kevin asking a lot about the penalties last week. What exactly was the main factor in being able to – I mean, you only had three for 43 yards last night.
Well, I think every game's different, and, of course, every officiating crew's different. It is what it is. I mean, that's, you know, every crew's going to, you know, have a different eye for things. And then, of course, you know, I don't know if you watched the Philly game yesterday. I think they had five pre-snap penalties in the first half.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a team that doesn't get penalized. And, you know, you just don't, you know, you're talking about human beings out there when you're talking about officiating and you're talking about players. And you just ever totally get your hands around other than you focus on it. Mike made it a big part of practice in terms of cleaning it up, cleaning the penalties up, and, you know, coaches them up on the crew that's coming in, and we'll continue to do that. But you're going to have the games where you get a crew that's got their eye on something, and you're not doing it quite to the, you know, to the way they think you should in terms of, you know, following the protocols that, you know, are in the rule book, and, you know, those things happen. But we have to continue to make them a focus because, as you can see, you clean those things up and you protect the ball and you make plays, you can, you know, you can have a big night like we did last night.
Steven, last night CeeDee Lamb was used in motion, and I think there was at one point 100% of his yards and catches came while he was in motion and moving around. That's an addition that we've seen for him so far. Are we watching CeeDee Lamb flourish and blossom into a real, true number one type receiver right now?
Well, I you know, he just keeps getting better, and that's what you expect. Obviously, going to that role, you know, is the quote unquote number one. But Michael Gallup's right there too. He keeps getting better every week, and these guys are really playing well together. I think Kellen and Mike are doing a great job of, you know, coming up with game plans that allow them to use their skill set to have success. And hopefully that's just going to continue to get better. And then, you know, we're using those four tight ends to really help us out. I thought we ran the ball well yesterday. And, you know, I think things are obviously coming together on the offensive side of the ball. And then on defense, we got dialed in. And, you know, you're playing a veteran quarterback who knows what he's up against, and he was getting that ball out of there quick. So it was obviously really hard to get to him, but when you, you know, have to move the ball quickly, sometimes you can make mistakes with it, and ultimately we got our share of the mistakes that he made along the way.
Now, you mentioned the defense. One of the unfortunate parts in an otherwise outstanding day was it sounds like an Achilles rupture for Anthony Brown. Is that, in fact, correct, or do you anticipate he will miss the rest of the season?
Yeah, right now it's looking like that's what he has, and certainly, as you said, it's unfortunate. Anthony Brown's played good football for us for years. You know, we came into the season, we were heavy when we did our roster, and we knew it was seven corners. You know, I think normally you'd carry five, but we've lost two, you know, really good players, and Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis. But just like Lance stepped up for Jordan Lewis, we fully expect Kelvin Joseph and Nashawn Wright and those guys will step up as well. So, you know, it's a part of our game. All 32 teams have to deal with it. And, you know, it's a tough loss, but we'll work through it.
So you don't see any need right now to go outside of the star or outside of the facility to find another cornerback? You're feeling pretty good where you, what you have here?
Well, we're always looking to improve and have depth. And certainly, you know, it's shown us, you know, this year, unfortunately, and that makes our second corner that we've lost. And we'll continue to see if there's ways to improve in that area. But Nashawn Wright's been chomping at the bit. He's gotten a few opportunities. He's one of our better special teams player and players. And, you know, this is when guys get opportunities, they shine. And certainly Kelvin Joseph has been one of our better special teams player this year and has filled in good when he's called upon. And I think, you know, given the experience he's going to get, he'll do well.
Now, I was really curious if we could get some of your insight into the story and performance of Damone Clark, as somebody who C3, C4 spinal fusion neck surgery to repair a herniated disc, and he punched the ball out on that play that led to the Malik Hooker touchdown. So I was just hoping you could give us some insight about his return to the field and then how he's done on the field.
Well, Damone Clark has just, you know, been an inspirational guy around the facility. Hats off to not only our scouting staff, our coaching staff, but even more important, our medical staff for diagnosing him the right way. They really felt like that, you know, if he progressed as they thought he would and the type of person he is, that he could play for us this year, and it came to fruition. We knew the, you know, the flip side of that was he may miss the year, but we still felt like we were getting a first-class individual, a leader type, who really plays the game at a high level, and I think he's only going to get better. Obviously, he wasn't really even able to start practicing till after training camp, and you know, he's just done a good job, and he's only going to get better, and he's made up of all the right things you want in a defensive player in the NFL.
And Stephen, Malik Hooker had an exceptional night last night, and we've been kind of watching his progression back since his injury, as y'all picked him up last year. What's he, his veteran leadership added to what this team is?
Well, he's just, as you know, when we had him there, he was a top 10 type player coming out of college, had some, you know, tough injury things he had to fight through that probably pulled his career back a little bit in terms of progression. But, you know, he's a guy we loved when he came out of school, and he's fit in nicely here with what Dan Quinn wants out of that position. And, you know, he's done nothing but be a team player for us. As you know, he came in last year at training camp, and it took a while, you know, for him to get to the point where he was ready to go, not unlike Damone Clark. And he's certainly, you know, a guy who's really paying off for us. He's well-respected on this football team. He's a hard worker. He's a team guy. And doesn't surprise me a bit, you know, that he's rising to the level of play, you know, that he's exhibiting out there on our defensive football team. And, you know, we're fortunate to have him, and, you know, a great guy to have on this team.
And Tyler Smith gets in at left guard last night. Kevin, I know you, your question is that something more to come? My question is, you know, how did you feel seeing him at left guard? What were you feeling last night when you were watching him out there?
Well, that's all we saw him at in training camp and mini camp. So it wasn't like it was a that's all he practiced, which is all the more impressive as to what he's done at left tackle for us while Tyron Smith's been out. But the great news is that's That's all, the only place he worked for the most part during training camp. And certainly if we need him to man that spot when Tyron Smith gets back, which, by the way, he's just doing an outstanding, you know, barring something unforeseen, you know, we'll activate him to the practice level to where he's practicing with the team and feel like he's going to do really well. And then I know the coaches, I know Mike's a big believer in, I know Joe Philbin is, you want your best five players out there, and I know they'll get our best five out there.
So you believe that activation will take place this week then?
I think he'll activate to where he's practicing. When you're on IR, DTR, yep. Your first step is you go just like James Washington did last week. He won't be on the 53, but he has 3 weeks to practice, and then you make a decision, you know, and he doesn't have to go the full 3 weeks. He can go, you can do it week one, or you can do it week two or week three. But once you activate him, then they count on your 53, and you move on from there. So Tyron will be doing the same thing James Washington did, and we'll just see how that goes. It should happen this week, and then we'll decide as to when we think he's ready to actually play in the game.
Talking with Stephen Jones right here on 105 Through the Fan. Obviously, you're intricately involved with the Cowboys salary cap and managing that. There's rumblings floating around that the cap will be $220 million plus. I was just kind of curious a couple of things. How do they release that information to you usually? And have you also heard numbers that it will be above 220 next year?
Well, you always use your own, you know, your own calculus, if you will, in terms of what it normally does. And, you know, you get a feel for that. We're getting ready to have NFL meetings next week, management council meetings where, you know, our salary cap staff, and we sit in a meeting and they start to project where they think that cap's going to be. We don't have anything official as we sit here right now, but you're always trying to, you know, use your best guess, you know, your best efforts, and they project. I mean, they give us projections, but certainly subject to change. So there's nothing definitive at this point, but we should be getting the first look at what they think that number might be, but that'll be subject to change as well.
Has that been more difficult the last couple of years with obviously the ebbs and flows of COVID and like expediting repayments? Has that made it more difficult to make those projections?
Absolutely. I mean, you just, when you don't know what your revenue is going to be, especially in the COVID year, and then you're trying to smooth the curve out for the players and the clubs, then, you know, it puts everything, you know, all your original projections, you have to go back to the drawing board. And I think the league, the staff, the management council staff did a great job of smoothing that out, doing a great job to where, you know, it's certainly in a situation where teams can get back in the groove and the swing of things and understand what they're going to be looking at. But there's no doubt the COVID year took a big swing at the cap, and certainly, I think all 32 teams had to work through how they were going to manage through, you know, lesser salary caps than they had projected before COVID.
Steven, blink twice if Odell Beckham Jr. is in the car with you right now.
He would be in the car with me doing this, I can assure you. He's got, you know, you don't have long with these guys when they come in to visit, and he's got a busy schedule, and you know, we look forward to our visit with him, Jerry and I do. And I know there's a lot of people, you know, from medical staff to our leadership council, to our coaching staff, right on down the line that are going to be visiting with him. And we'll just see where things go.
Is it pressing in your mind that you view this as a we need help for this year as opposed to, I know it could be a multi-year deal, but do you view it more from the perspective of we're looking for help this year and we'll figure out the other years later?
I mean, I think this year is our priority as we sit here right now. And no question about it. We've got I think everybody recognizes we've got a really solid football team that can compete to win a championship this year. And certainly that's our focus. And obviously we have, you know, we've done our planning and we understand how future years work as well. But our number one priority is to win football games right now.
And on your confidence meter right now, are you about 85% confident? Where's your number right now?
It's like doing contracts, as I've always said. I never project and never guess, are we close? Are we a long ways out? You know, nothing's ever done till it's done, and a lot of times it doesn't get done. So we'll just see where this thing takes us. We look forward to the next 24 to 36 hours spending time with Odell, and we'll see where it takes us.
Hey, real quick, Stephen, last night Jerry did say that he might do something uncomfortable. Was he talking about you would be uncomfortable because of the amount of money? Is that what he meant by that?
I don't know. I didn't hear it, so it's hard for me to comment on. But, you know, I think anytime you stretch to make yourself better, it's going to, you know, and you're trying to make a deal, then you can be uncomfortable. And usually the best deals are when both sides are a little uncomfortable, and it ends up working out. But we'll just see. But I'm not exactly sure what he meant by that.
Appreciate the time. As always, good sir. Best of luck over the next couple of days. And obviously, congratulations on that 3-game winning streak.
Appreciate it, guys. Always great being on with you.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105. Three, the fan.
Always great being on with us, he says. I appreciate
it. It is true.
Yeah.
It is true.
I think,
man,
most people feel that way.
I knew it wasn't going to happen. What you were like, blink twice if Odell Beckham is in the car. I was like, part of me was hoping he was like, oh, do you want proof? And he was like, hey, guys. And then I realized that was very,
and then you're like,
very
hold on, how
unlikely
do we confirm that it's Odell? And he's like, I made that catch. Do you remember? And we're like, oh, it is him.
Yeah. Nobody could have faked that at all.